Next part of upgrading of the Occult book is part 26. Headline: Goodbyes. I saw that the spectacle was finished, since that multitude was leisurely beginning to leave. When the son of the sun returned, our group was all standing. As soon as he arrived, he initiated a conversation with a Cork and the one with Tuek from the other city. They were going out by way of the corridor leading to the landing platform, followed by me, a little behind the others. Suddenly, they stopped and turned toward me and the other three. The son looked at me, put one hand on each shoulder, almost shaking me. Then a Cork translated for me a phrase from him, saying, "I wish you a happy return to Earth." I, completely astonished, did not know what to do or say, scarcely able to smile. While I waited to bid goodbye to the others with other ceremonies, to my lucky surprise, a Cork took me by the arm and we went forward to our ship and embarked without further delay. We departed so that we gained altitude above those buildings. I leaned back in the seat and yawned so deeply that the Cork noticed I began to laugh at me. "Where do we go now?" I asked. "To my residence, after which we will go to Conn, from where we will depart." "That gentleman that we met is not going with us?" "He has already gone. He is waiting for us there." When we got to the residence of a Cork, we were received by his wife and young son. Upon indication from him, I sat down while the three retired to another room. I was thinking, perhaps here there is going to be more delay for preparation and goodbye, but which was nothing. A Cork returned in a moment, accompanied by his wife and son, who only came into the room and stood waiting. A Cork with a valise not much bigger than a handbag, certainly containing our articles, without much ceremony, said, "Let us go." Then, completely amazed by the simple manner of goodbye, I inclined my head in a sign of farewell and went out. When we had gone a certain distance, I began to reminisce of the simplicity of their goodbyes, still more upon undertaking an interplanetary voyage, since here on Earth, even go to another city, the people take their leave with much ceremony. However, their cart, perhaps for being certain of return, with the practical means of locomotion available to them, the distance does not seem to matter. As I reflected on this, I looked below to see the cities we were overflying. It was a Cork who drew me out of the pensive contemplative state, saying, "Then, are you satisfied now?" "Yes, I am." "Are we going to depart as soon as we arrive, or are we going to sleep in Conn before?" He laughed at my question and answered, "We are going to depart as soon as we arrive in Conn. Since the ship and its crew are ready, and concerning the sleeping, do not worry, since you will have plenty of time for that during the voyage." Taken by great fear, I asked, "Do I have to make the trip in a state of unconsciousness like when I came?" No, this time there will be no need. This alleviated, I felt better. Despite the many new things that I had seen, there still remained in me a wealth of curiosity to see the planets in space and the space itself, as it is appropriately called. He continued, because when you came here, when you were unconscious, a team of specialists submitted you to various tests of resistance concerning your organism and your physical condition to their complete satisfaction. Because of this, you will be allowed to travel awake for certain stretches of the voyage without running any danger. And when it is necessary to sleep, you will give me something to ingest. What is it going to be? Yes, in part it is by injection, and in part not. How then? Can you not, sir, explain to me better? I don't find it of great value to explain, because I think it would be very difficult for you to understand. Why do I have to be unconscious in those certain stretches to which you referred? It is because in those stretches we will suffer a strong reaction. But if I am in an unconscious state, I won't feel the same? No, for two reasons. You being unconscious, the doctors aboard can control the reactions of your body without problems, and, on the other hand, being unconscious, you would not be frightened and complicate their work and possibly even your existence. You, sir, and the other crew members do not experience these reactions. We feel them, but they do not affect us the same, because we receive special training for these missions. Are you saying that it is not everyone who can survive a voyage such as this? Having good health, any person could make a voyage like this without feeling ill in a conscious state. In an unconscious state, you will survive better. And at what point in the trip are these stretches, and how many are there? There are three. For first is when we have to discharge the magnetic field of a cart. The second is in the middle of the course, the so-called neutral space, and the third is when we have come to the magnetic barriers of Earth, and from here to there give us the reverse after the execution on neutral space. Ah, it is for that then. Look, we are arriving in Con. Then I tried with my ideas of today to see and remember some point of every sight previously seen up to this time, but I could not. I was not capable of anything. Even the buildings were very similar one to another. Suddenly, a cork stopped the ship on a smooth plane, like an airport, in a slight curve instead of straight. There were in the vicinity where we landed several great ships parked. What place is this? I asked. It was in this place that you touch the ground of a cart for the first time. It is one of the many landing fields for the great ships that we have here. Then we have reached to to number 27, headline Return Voyage. As soon as we disembarked, we were confronted by several persons, among them Tuvek. While he spoke with a clerk, I made a rapid examination of the place, since I was almost convinced that I was not outside of there, that I had seen a cart for the first time. I vaguely remembered a leveled place between tall buildings, and these that I saw now were only on one side and some points. Finally, I found an explanation for the enigma, which was that at the time of my arrival there, I felt so ill that it was logical now for me not to remember some details, much less that upon disembarking we were at one point and proceeded on foot to the local referred to in the beginning of this narrative, without my even looking back. Before anything else, I want to give an idea of this local landing place. I believe that there, in remote times, there was a kind of ostentation, since the landing field was constructed halfway on the top of the last row of buildings of the lower side. These had some 50 stories, and on the other side, from the ground to the upper part, on the same level as the bases of those buildings. These also, in majority, were very, very tall, this point of the city being consequently between what could be called the lower city and the upper city, divided by them by this feature, the landing field, of some 100 meters wide by 2 kilometers long. After a clerk had been briefed by word of mouth by those men, I saw that the time had come for me to say goodbye to the Akkadian ground. The group followed by me went toward a solid ship standing nearby. A cork took his leave as such from Tuvek, and after that said goodbye to two more. Tuvek looked at me and put his hands on my shoulders, and smiling saluted me, but only that, since a cork was not there to translate our words. It was useless to try to say what we wanted. Then a cork, as calm and content as if we were beginning a fishing trip, there behind the hill, looked at me and put his free hand on my shoulder and conducted me to the door of the ship, which was opened by a man who remained waiting for us to enter so he could close it. I was somewhat surprised when we went right in, and we went up those steps with the rooms in between, until we reached a certain large semi-oval room, which I remembered perfectly from when I disembarked, where we opened and closed several doors until we got outside. I now waited to see if we were going to repeat the same. Due to the aspect of the corridor we walked, and also those stairs, I recognized the room to be the same where I woke up on arrival, and our cork had already said we were going to make this trip in the same ship that had brought me to that planet. Our cork left the valise in the small compartment adjacent to the room, and we sat on some benches against the wall. Then I asked, "Are we already leaving?" No, we are still going to wait a little. Here there came up to us a subject with the face of new friends, and he spoke some words with a cork, and giving him something, and left again. A cork got up and went out. He returned with a kind of bottle with water, which he gave to me together with a tablet similar to aspirin, saying, "Drink this." Frightened, I asked, "What is it for, and why do I have to take it?" "Well, it will be your alimentation during the trip." I thought this was a joke. What manner of pill such as this could feed me for a trip? As I hesitated to take this pill, he continued, "You can take it without fear, since all of us who are going to go on this ship will be nourished likewise during the voyage." "But what kind of alimentation is this?" "It is like any basic alimentation, since all that a human being needs to nourish him for one day, a quartian day, is concentrated in this tablet, and with the advantage of not loading the stomach." "Well, if that is so, then it is a marvel." I swallowed the pill, accompanied by a good gulp of water, since I hoped that it would make it easier to swallow it. But it was nothing, seeming to me that it went down as easy as the water. After discussing this system of alimentation a little more, I asked, "When we take off from here, are we only going to go to Earth, or will we land on some other planet first?" "Yes, we will make a landing here near to our cart." "Where near here?" "Come with me and I will show you." I followed him, and we went down a short corridor and passed through a door which opened into a room there with several people inside, working here and there. A cork went up to one of them and spoke a few words, and, following that, we approached a kind of balcony with several seats in front, and above them the walls was covered with indicators and an infinity of more other apparatus controls. A cork sat down and made a sign for me to come closer. I came and sat down next to him. He instructed to look into an object like a binocular, and when I looked, he said, "It is there where we have to land." "Is it a moon here on a cart?" I exclaimed. Laughing, he responded, "No, no, it is not a moon, since a cart has no moon like the Earth." "But what is it then, some planet?" I asked, amazed. "No, not a planet. Can't you see that it is a rectangular, almost oval, instead of round?" "Yes, but what is to be seen here?" "That which you see is a space platform constructed by us." "A platform constructed by our Cartians? "Yes. And not only this, we have constructed similar." For what were they constructed?" "Well, they have much utility, as you will see." "Do people live there?" "Yes, we always have hundreds of people there, as well as various solar ships and other apparatus." "Can you see it in the daytime also?" "No, it can't be seen at the day with naked eyes. At night it can be seen, but it is the size of a small star." "Despite my being knowledgeable in many things, that concerning space, planets, etc., left me wondering how those people constructed in space that which seemed to me more a natural moon than some artificial platform in space. However, I didn't want to ask explanations from McCork at that moment, as well as because he did not give me time there. We went back to the semi-oval room, and as we entered, I saw in my mind something from before, since I said, everything led me to believe that this was the room in which I had awakened upon arrival, only it lacked something, a bed, stretcher type, on which I was lying. I was certain that this was hanging from the side of some wall, and now I could not see anything that could serve for this. To relieve my doubts, I asked, "Do you, sir, know if it was in this room where I woke up when they brought me here?" He looked at me, intrigued at my question, and said, "Yes, it was the same. But why?" "It is that I cannot see any stretcher, nor where it was suspended." Then he smiled and said, "It is here." And he went to the wall near the rounded part and pressed on something that to me was no more than a simple feature, and it realized the bed, the same that I had been lying on, or if not, it identical. But those magic passes of his did not stop there. He continued there at the wall, pressing here and there, making five more descend in two lines of three, one above the other. I still felt funny there and said, "Is this a dormitory?" "Exactly, but wait, we have more." I looked at him without understanding. He made me back up a little in the direction of the internal corridor and went to the wall opposite, newly touching it. I was surprised to see more beds emerge from the wall. Yes, they came out, but from the ceiling of that room, in two by two, one above the other, for more than 12, becoming, for the moment, another room transformed into a dormitory with 18 beds, 6 on the walls, 12 in the ceiling. He was satisfied and made them return, with the exception of one, all to their respective places. Following that, he made tables appear, bottles with water, etc. In the end, I was to see that all the compartments were full. Finally, he made all the concealments return, minus one bed and a bench, on which he invited me to sit, and he went out. I sat there and wondered how they learned to make use of all the space in every place, because of the lack of it, while we here on Earth live crowded because we have the space but don't know how to use it. What also made me wonder at that time was the fact that I did not feel sleepy or tired, though it had already been many hours since I slept. About this time, a cork returned, accompanied by the face of few friends. They discussed among themselves a little, and that last one left. Then a cork said, "Well, I think you must be very sleepy by now, no?" "Up to now, no. But I feel like I can lay down on this if I see it okay." "Then you can lay down." "Yes, sir, but the ship is not going to leave soon." "Yes, it is leaving, and it is just for this that you have to sleep." "But if I don't sleep?" "Yes, you will sleep. Do not worry." "We do not need special vestments for these trips." "No, our dress is appropriate for the ship." "No, we have different vestments only for special cases." They didn't tell me what those special cases were. He pressed me and I lay down. A cork was leaving when I said to him, "If I do not wake up when the ship arrives at that platform, Would you, sir, wake me up? I would like much to see it. Yes, yes, he responded, smiling, and then went out. A little later I began to understand why he laughed, since from that instant until I awoke on earth, I slept and awakened when they well required it. I lay down, looking without wanting to at the luminous circular outline, and fell to sleep instantly, only awakening when, with my eyes still closed, I began to hear voices of people speaking. Then I was opening them distractedly, gave a yawn, and then I remembered where I was. Finally, I recovered, and then I looked toward the people and recognized among them a Cork. I sat up on the bed. He saw this and came over to me, saying, "We have arrived. For this I have awakened you." "Are I where? On earth?" "No, the platform," he said with an air of humor. Then I awakened to all the thought. How did I wake up? I do not remember anybody touching me to awaken. Also, I did not have the least idea of the time that I had slept. But now it was my desire to see much of a very big space platform, and I didn't try to understand and the why of these things. Soon I was well awake, and I asked, "Can I see it?" "Yes, come." I accompanied him, thinking that we were going toward the same room of apparatus as before. However, we went to mid-corridor, and a Cork opened the door, which I saw later was an elevator, and by it we went up to another floor. Once there, a Cork approached the two individuals who were there in front of a desk console. It was one of the many that they had there. They exchanged some words, and then the others stepped back, giving their places to us. I thought, with all those buttons, what is it that they are going to show me here? Then, ignorant as I was with respect to space, I awaited, among other things, for us to disembark there in plain cosmic space, without the least special vestments. One seated, a Cork instructed me to look at an apparatus in front of us. When I looked, I almost fell down. I expected to see that in darkness, as I already had a small notion that space would be like that, but which was not, since all that I saw was completely well illuminated. And besides this, I had imagined that platform was lost to sight in the luminosity, and I could not see the end. It was completely covered with a resplendent material, and from its appearance very fine, seen from the side where we stopped. I found that in space they do not have what one could call above or below. They had what we could call a city, but without houses. And yet there were mock houses, something like the igloos that they make with ice, or like cups or hats, doom disks, and also an infinite of ships and other things which I never would come to imagine could be, besides the many people who came and went as if they were on solid ground. I saw perfectly that the people had the body completely enclosed in a special suit. Later, I will give more details of all that I saw there, because at that time, a Cork did not give me time to ask better explanation. An observation. There I could see in all their directions, because wherever looked, a Cork controlled the direction with some buttons on an apparatus at my side. At a certain point he said, "Look, there is a cart." "That globe there is a cart?" "Yes, it is." "What a fantastic thing. Never could I imagine that it would be so beautiful to see from here." "As much as I would like, I would not be capable of transposing to paper the sight that I had from there of a cart. However, I am going to make an effort. The globe that I saw from there, I don't know whether the apparatus magnifies or diminishes, to me seem to be some 20 to 25 meters apparent diameter, and as the platform was between it and the sun in a direct line, it showed in full the part turned toward us, for which one could see all the daylight of a cart, with the exception of a tiny depression at one of the poles, which was dark. I do not know the colors, but I can affirm that the surface of a cart is not blue, not even the part of an ocean which I could clearly distinguish between the continents. It radiated three types of color. One was this to which I have referred, which was the color of the ground, and another shade for the water. Around the globe there was a corona or another color, and besides that, one that came, as far as I could see, almost to this platform. Becoming confused there with the crepuses of cosmic space. Crepuscles of cosmic space. After looking carefully at all, we went back to dormitory room. Once there, Akork said, "Well, now we can continue your interrupted sleep, because we are going to leave shortly." "How much time did I sleep?" "Very little, since from our cart to here is close." "How many kilometers is it? "Approximately 50,000 kilometers."
50,000 kilometers? And you say it is close?"
"You have to understand, when treating of space, it is insignificant, since I have already said this solar ship makes 500 kilometers per second, terrestrial second. Only that up to here it did not develop this velocity. However, it came very quickly." Curtailing this discussion, he ordered me to lie down again. I lay down. The same thing as before was repeated, and in seconds I was sleeping. When I awoke next time, I noticed something strange in me as well as the ship, which emitted an unusual hum. I sat up and looked around. There was nobody. I extended my feet out from under the cover because they seemed to be swelled as well as the rest of my body. I felt weak for some moments, and I waited for that to pass. At that point, I wanted to lie down again, but I did not do it, because I wanted very much to know where we were then. It was my luck. If I had not done this, to spend the rest of the voyage sleeping, I thought. Suddenly a cork arrived from I don't know where and asked, "How do you feel?" "Well, I feel something strange. It seems to me that I have grown in volume, and besides this, I seem to feel a strong wind blowing until it makes the flesh of my face shake." Then he took my pulse for some moments and gave an affirmative nod, as he said with satisfaction, "You are in optimum condition. Do not worry that you feel is going to be a threat.
As we are traveling, are we traveling or are we still stopped? We have been traveling for many hours, terrestrial hours, since we already have proceeded almost one third of the course. How many hours have we been traveling then? 1.5 hours a quartin, corresponding to 11 terrestrial hours, approximately. User, have you also slept? Already, yes, several hours. Are you saying that now the ship is developing that velocity of which you spoke? Yes, it is, and for this you feel thus. Until now you have left, we have left you along to see how you would react when you awakened. According to weather, we should make you asleep for the whole voyage, but we see that this is not going to be necessary. And now, for how long can I remain awake? Well, if you want to continue to sleep, continue. In case of the contrary, you can remain awake for a good space of time still. Well, I will remain awake then. Very good. Meanwhile, I will show you some more compartments of the ship. Take a look at the time. 36 minutes. I continue. We spent the following 2 hours going to almost all the compartments of this ship. It had what we could call 3 levels. The first and third had less rooms than the second due to the funneled form of this ship, the lower half as well as the upper. We descended primarily to what would be the first level. Of all the compartments there, the majority were occupied by accessories, with the exception of 3, one to my surprise, with 2 small ships of theirs inside, and the other 2 were kind of armory, containing powerful solar weapons inside. From there we returned to the middle level by elevator. This level, due to the form of construction of the ship, was the greater. It had 2 more dormitories. Just like the other one, various storage places, laboratories, rooms, and corridors. These corridors to which I refer were not simply unoccupied corridors, since they had walls that were full of drawers containing small objects, and the same with the closets. Finally, we went to the very top, where the whole system of control, locomotion, and defense of the ship could be found. In the various compartments we entered, we always found humans seated in front of super complicated apparatus covered with instruments of all types, including some indicators that oscillated back and forth. Admirable was the sense of responsibility of that team of men who controlled the ship. They were on all sides. But it seemed to me that only a cork had been allowed to speak with me, since the others neither turned around nor looked at me. We came to the door of a place that left me much impressed. It was there where they had the motors which furnished the propulsive force, impulsors, or whatever, in parentheses, of the ship. This compartment was some 5 by 5 meters, and right in the middle, if there were 6 motors about the size of a barrel of gasoline, arranged in 2 rows of 3, one above the other. I more or less guessed that they served for, but I still asked, what are these motors for? They capture and transmit the solar energy which moves the ships. Do all six work together? No, only two function at a time. Why do we have six then? Because if something happens to one pair, we can put another pair into operation. But can these solar motors also suffer malfunction? Certainly. Can't you see that they are made of matter, and all that is made of or born of matter is possible to malfunction? Is it these same motors that move the ship in the atmosphere of Earth and Oracort? No. These are only used in space because their function is to augment the magnetic attraction of the part, he indicated the cupola of the ship, with the planet or the object aimed for. For locomotion of the ship within the atmosphere, we have those 16 helixes, 8 to each side, each one with a motor a little less than this. It is always controlled from this room here. Oh, it was a question. Is it always controlled from this room here? Yes, every part. Contrary to my desire to remain there to look and ask questions, he continued. Let us go to the dormitory because it is almost time for you to have to sleep again. Dismayed by that news that I would have to sleep again, I followed to the dormitory without speaking. But as soon as we got there, I asked, why do I have to sleep if I'm feeling well now? And besides, I'm not sleepy. It seemed to me that he was astonished or did not want to give me an answer until he said, well, perhaps when you awaken, I will be able to give you these explanations. Then I lay down on my back, crossed my hands behind my head, and began to think about what the cork could be hiding from me, if he was. After that, I don't know what attracted me to it, but I looked at that circle of light above me and fell immediately asleep, without having time to see if a cork was still there or if he had left. The falling to sleep always happened the same way, and awakening was no different either. I awakened as before, feeling that ill-being, feeling light all the time. I thought, what does a cork go? Where does a cork go? Is it that he sleeps in one of the dormitories? About this time he came in, seemingly completely satisfied. I resolved to get rid of these and other doubts, so I inquired, do you, sir, sleep in one of the other dormitories? No, I sleep here in this one. Only I and you then? No, there are several others who repose here also. But how is it that all the times I have awakened, I am alone and don't see anybody nor the signs still of others upon awakening? It is that those of us who sleep here, those three times that we had to make you sleep, only slept this last time, and we got up before you awakening. Now those who sleep in the other two dormitories are resting. So, while some sleep, the others control the ship and vice versa. By this time he had already retracted my bed and we were sitting on the benches. How many people make up the crew of this ship? This time, since it is a mission almost exclusively to carry you on your return to Earth, we are 32, including We too. Why almost exclusively? I don't know why, but in his answer this time I did notice that he told me something of why, or did not choose to tell me. Well, it is that there may always be someone of the members of the observation team we have there who have to be replaced, and then we can take this advantage. Good enough, but did you say that you have teams of Akkartians on Earth? Yes, we have. But where? Well, the ships that we have stationed there... There, where? On Earth? In space around it? On the moon? No, he exclaimed. It is that in some way someone could make you tell, since it is that we have already confided too much in you. But it is that some of you still can doubt me with all that I have seen and with all that you have been doing for me and still promise to do. This is very different. You are going to make contact with those others first or after you leave me on Earth. It can be made in such a way that you will not notice anything. I am certain that you will not be able to tell whether we are stopped or in movement, nor the same whether we are in contact with anyone or not. At what point in the trip are we now? I asked this because the other business was getting nowhere. We have traveled approximately 2/3 of the voyage, or thereabouts, none or less 45 millions of kilometers. When he used numbers like this, I still had to consider it a joke, since one time I went to the federal capital via San Pablo, and I found it a very long way. Now he speaks of this in significations of 1,000 and some times around the Earth. Have we already passed that neutral space you spoke of before? Yes, already. Why is this stretch within the space itself called neutral space? I don't know how you are going to understand, but space itself has its fields of dominion within the infinite. For example, our sun dominates up to where it comes into contact with the dominion of any other neighboring sun. With the planets, it is the same. The humanity of any planet, when it initiates its studies of the cosmos, finds initially that the force of this planet is limited a little distance from it. But after discovering this, he is going to discover much more besides. That is, until he encounters one of his neighbors more proximate and more what this force is, in certain circumstances, repellent, and in others, attractive. Like what? Well, this sheep, for example, is being attracted by the force of the earth, but when we get still closer, it will tend to repel us. Then we have to change the whole system with the end that if it were not like this, we would not have life of any species of any planet, because there exists infinite quantities of fragments or kinds wandering the infinite that would destroy all, and still from augmenting their numbers and volume to the point of no longer obeying their orbits. Finally, in neutral space is where they encounter the forces of two planets, and the reactions of one being sent to cross this space due to the fact they are not equal in forces between one and the other, for which those going from the weaker receive the impact of the stronger, and vice versa. Of earth and a cart, which is that has the major field and is the stronger? It is the earth, for which this base, neutral, is nearer to a cart. And when they are farther apart, well, there are fields, the fields are elongated, but always in the same proportions, and when the distance is much, then they will give the same, but also with another that at the time could be more proximate. And the planets with the relation to the sun, are they also the same? No, because the planets have forces infinitely inferior to that of the sun, and besides this, they are in need of it. Likewise with the moons of a planet, when it has them, such that the planets at times are repelled by to greater distances and other times attracted. How is it that fragments to which you refer cause no damage to spaceships? Primarily, because they are composed of material that is subject to attraction, and second, because the ships have a protective field around them. Do you have to sleep again, or can I make the rest of the voyage awake? Yes, you will have to sleep when we reach the strongest barriers of Earth. Do we still lack much to reach there? Yes, we lack some. However, you can still remain awake 1 hour, Akkartian, or it would be 7 hours and 40 minutes of Earth time. From here, are you able to see the Earth well yet? We can see more or less. It would like to see it from space, if that would be possible. Yes, I will show you. You, sir, always say you are going to sleep, you are going to wake up, but how is it that I do not remember and never see you, anyone touch me or give me anything to make me sleep, or not to be fed for that long? Can you explain? You do not remember having looked at a luminous circle above the bed you are lying on? Yes, I remember, still suspicious of that, but what does that circle of light then do? Very well, that light is the same as that which you focused your eyes upon on Earth as you approach our starship. However, that beam was very strong, for which it made you lose your senses instantly. This here is weak, making you sleep almost normally. And when I sleep, it is turned off? No, it is turned off when we want you to wake up. But what power could this simple light have over the organism of a person? But it is not a simple light. It required many years of study by our scientists to discover this means of dominating the cerebrum and the organs which provoke and repel sleep. Are you saying that a person subjected to a beam of this light would not wake up until it was turned off? Exactly. One thing that I very much wanted to ask him, what was it that you and the son of the sun spoke of for so much time during the sports event? He told me how I should proceed with you during the voyage. Then our cork went to get water, and together with the pill gave them to me, which I took and swallowed without hesitation. That was done on this part. Next is 28 aspects of space, and will be on a separate audio file then.